Tonight to the Word. Before we do that, let's take a moment for a time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would speak to us, that we would receive the food of your holy word, that your truth would truly be planted deep within us. We pray, Lord, that you would shape and fashion us in your likeness, that we would serve you faithfully in all your purposes that you have, and that it would be done to your glory this night and in the coming days. In your name we pray. Amen. For our scripture lessons tonight, if you would first turn to the New Testament, we will be a short passage from the fourth chapter of Philippians, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then if you'll turn over to Psalm 121, which is our text for the evening. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. What Christian family has not read Psalm 121 over the breakfast table before a loved member of that family has set out on a long or difficult journey or moved into a new phase of life? Let us look into an understanding of this wonderful psalm, sometimes called the Traveler's Psalm, what firm footing this psalm gives our steps in our onward pilgrimage to heaven, the city that has foundations more firm than anything in this fallen world. In verse 1, we read again, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? It is wise to look to the strong for strength. Those who live in the valleys are subject to many disorders for which there is no cure, but a sojourn in the highlands. It is well when they shake off their lethargy and resolve upon a climb. Down below, they are the prey of marauders, and to escape from them is the surest method, that is to fly to the strongholds of the mountains. Often, before the actual ascent, the sick and plundered people look towards the hills and long to be on those summits. Help comes to the saints only from above. They look elsewhere in vain. Let us lift up our eyes with hope, expectancy, desire, and confidence. Satan will endeavor to keep our eyes upon our sorrows, that we may be anxious and discouraged. Be it ours to firmly resolve that we will look out and look up. For there is good cheer for the eyes, and they that lift up their eyes to the eternal hills shall soon have their hearts lifted up also. The purposes of God, the divine attributes, his unchanging promises, the covenant ordered in all things and sure, the providence, predestination, and the proved faithfulness of the Lord. These are the hills to which we must lift up our eyes. For from these our help must come. It is our resolve that we will not be blindfolded by the things of this world, but lift up our eyes. Or perhaps is the text making a different inquiry? Does the psalmist ask, shall I lift up mine eyes to the hills? Does he feel the highest places of the earth can afford him no shelter? And so does he ask again, where does my help come from? If so, the next verse answers the question and shows from where all help must come. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, we read in verse 2. What we need is help. Help that is powerful, efficient, constant. We need a very present help in trouble. What a mercy that we have it in our God. Our hope is in the Lord, for our help comes from him. Help is on the road and will not fail to reach us in due time. For he who sends it to us has never known to be too late. The Lord who created all things is equal to every emergency. Heaven and earth are at the disposal of him who made them. Therefore, let us be very joyful in our infinite helper. He will sooner destroy heaven and earth than permit his people to be destroyed. The perpetual hills themselves will bow rather than he shall fail whose ways are everlasting. We are bound to look beyond heaven and earth to him who made them both. It is useless to trust the creatures. It is wise to trust the Creator. In verse 3, we read, he will not let your foot be moved. Though the paths of life are dangerous and difficult, yet we shall stand fast, for the Lord will not permit our feet to slide. Our Lord gives us a wide place to set our feet so they do not slip as we go through our days. And if he will not allow it, we shall not suffer it. If our foot will be kept, we may be sure that our head and heart will likewise be preserved also. In the original Hebrew, the words express a wish or prayer. May he not suffer your foot to be moved. Promised preservation should be the subject of perpetual prayer. And we may pray believingly, for those who have God for their keeper shall be safe from all the perils of the way. Among the hills and ravines of Palestine, the literal keeping of the feet is a great mercy. But in the slippery ways of a tried and afflicted life, the help of upholding is of priceless value. For a single false step may cause us a fall with much danger. To stand erect and pursue the even purpose of our way is a blessing that only God can give, which is worthy of the divine hand and worthy also of perennial gratitude. Our feet shall move in progress, but they shall not be moved to their overthrow. The verse goes on to say, he who keeps you will not slumber, or your keeper shall not slumber. We should not stand a moment if our keeper were to sleep. We need him day by day and by night. Not a single step can be safely taken except under his guarding eye. This is a choice verse in a pilgrim song. God is the convoy and bodyguard of his saints. When dangers are around us, we are safe. For our preserver is awake also and will not permit us to be taken unawares. No fatigue of exhaustion can cause our God to sleep, for his watchful eyes are never closed. In verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. This consoling truth is repeated here. It is too rich to be dismissed in a single line. It would be well if we always imitated the psalmist and would meditate frequently upon this doctrine. What a glorious title is in the Hebrew, the Keeper of Israel. And how delightful to think that no form of unconsciousness ever steals over him, neither the deep slumber nor the lighter sleep. He will never suffer. The house will never be broken by the silent thief. He is ever on watch and speedily perceives any intruder. This is a subject of wonder to us, a theme for our attentive consideration. Therefore, the word behold is set up as a trail marker or as a rock cairn, as you see down at Acadia. Israel fell asleep, but his God was awake. Jacob had other walls nor curtains, had neither walls nor curtains nor bodyguard around him, but the Lord was in that place with him, though Jacob did not know it. And therefore the defenseless man was safe as in his castle. In later days he mentioned God under his enchanting name, the God that led me along all my life long. Perhaps David alludes to that passage in this expression. The word keeps is also full of meaning. He keeps us as a rich man keeps his treasures, as a captain keeps a city with a garrison, as a royal guard protects his monarch's life. If the former verse is in strict accuracy a prayer, this verse is the answer to it, for it affirms the matter. Lo, he shall not slumber nor sleep, the keeper of Israel. It may also be worthy of mention that in verse 3, the Lord is spoken of as the personal keeper of one individual, and here, in this verse, of all those who are his chosen people, described as Israel. Mercy or protection given to one saint is the pledge of blessing to all his church. Happy are the pilgrims to whom this psalm is a safe conduct. They may journey all the way to the celestial city without fear. In verse 5, we read, the Lord is your keeper. Here, the preserving one who has been spoken of by pronouns in the two previous verses is distinctly named. The Lord is your keeper. What a wealth of meaning lies here. The sentence is a mass of treasure, and when coined and stamped with the king's name, it will bear all our expenses between our birthplace on earth and our rest in heaven. Here is a glorious person, the Lord, assuming a gracious office and fulfilling it in person. The Lord is your keeper on behalf of a favored individual, you, and a firm assurance of revelation that it is even so at this hour. The Lord is your keeper. Can we appropriate the divine declaration? If so, we may journey onward to Jerusalem and know no fear. Yes, we may journey even through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. A shade gives protection from burning heat and glaring light. As a person's shadow is always with him, so the Lord is always with his people. He will bear a shield before us. He will guard our right side with which we fight. The right side, your right arm, which does most of the labor, assuming you're not left-handed, will have most of the protection. When a blazing sun pours down its burning beams on our heads, the Lord Jehovah himself will interpose to shade us. And that in most honorable manner, acting as our right-hand attendant, protecting us on that side, placing us in comfort and safety. How different is this from the portion of the ungodly ones who have Satan standing at their right hand, and of those who Moses said their defense has departed from them. God is near as our shadow, and we are as safe as angels. In verse 6 we read, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. None but the Lord could shelter us from these tremendous forces. These two great lights rule the day and the night, and under them both we shall labor or rest in equal safety. Doubtless, there are dangers of the light and of the dark, but in both and from both we shall be preserved, literally from excessive heat and from the chill of night, spiritually from the evils of prosperity or adversity, eternally from the strain of overpowering glory and from the pressure of terrible events, even the chaos of our times. In these we are given peace, not because of circumstances, but in spite of those circumstances. Day and night make up all time. Thus, the ever-present protection never ceases. All evil may be ranked as under the sun or the moon, and neither of these can strike us, as we are indeed secure. God has not made a new sun or a fresh moon for his chosen. They exist under the same outward circumstances as others. But the power to strike is in their case removed from temporal agencies. Saints are enriched and not injured by the powers which govern the earth's condition. To them has the Lord given the precious things brought forth by the sun and the precious things put forth by the moon. In verse 7 we read, the Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord not only keeps or protects his own in all evil times, but from all evil influences and operations. This is a far-reaching promise of covering. It includes everything and excludes nothing. The wings of the Lord fully guard his own from evil, great and small, temporary and eternal, as we find refuge under his wings. This is the most delightful double personality in the verse. The Lord helps the believer, not by agents, but by himself. The person protected is definitely pointed out by the word you. It is not our estate or a name which is shielded, but the proper personal person. To make this even more intensely real and personal, another sentence has been added. He will keep your life. Or another translation is, the Lord will keep your soul. Soul keeping is the soul of keeping. If the soul is kept, all is kept. The preservation of the greater includes that of the lesser, so far as it is essential to the main design. The kernel shall be preserved, and in order that the shell shall be preserved also. God is the soul keeper of the soul. Our soul is kept from the domination of sin, the infection of error, the crush of hopelessness, the puffing up of pride, kept from the world, the flesh, and the devil, kept for holier and greater things, kept in the love of God, kept to the eternal kingdom and glory. What can harm a soul that is kept of the Lord? And finally, in verse 8, we read, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. When we go out in the morning to the day's activities and work and come home in the evening to rest, the Lord shall keep us. When we go out in youth to begin life and come in at the end of life to die, we shall experience the same keeping. When we pass through the waters, our Lord is with us, and they will not overwhelm us. Our exits and our entrances are under one protection. Three times in this psalm we have the phrase, the Lord shall keep, as if the sacred Trinity thus sealed the word to make it sure. Should not all our fears be slain by such a threefold flight of arrows? What anxiety can survive this triple promise? This keeping is eternal, continuing from this time forth, even forevermore. The whole church is thus assured of the everlasting security. The final perseverance of saints is thus ensured, and the glorious immortality of believers is guaranteed. Under the protection of such a promise, we may go on the pilgrimage of our lives without fear and venture into the battle without dread. None are so safe as those whom God keeps. None so much in danger as those who hope in themselves. To goings out and comings in belong particular dangers. Since every change of position provides a fresh target to the enemy, it is for these weak points that a special security is provided. The door, Lord will keep the door when it opens and when it closes. Thus, he will perseveringly continue to do so as long as there is left a single man that trusts him. As long as danger survives, and in fact, as long as time endures. Glory be to the Keeper of Israel. who is precious to us under that title. Since our growing sense of weakness makes us feel more deeply than our need of being kept, may we ever have before us the words of this psalm as we go through our days. May we be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our work is not in vain. Amen. A few thoughts from the word of the Lord.